Come, discover who and whose you were meant to be.
Hey, can I ask y'all a question before we do anything? Can everyone just sit up straight real quick, and I'm going to ask you to do something real quick. Sit up straight, lean forward like this. Go like, take a deep breath in, and go. Let's do that one more time. Let's do it one more time. Ready? Here we go. Take a deep breath in. Okay. Feel better now. We've been doing 5 o'clock services for 15 years, 10 years in this church and 5 years, well, maybe 3 years before this church. And this service is such an odd time in the day, and it's kind of like got a lazy feel to it. The kind of most laid back of the whole day. And so I you know, sometimes I come in and it's like, go ahead and preach. Let's do that one more time. Okay, now you're going to get the really good flow. I want you to look to the person next to you. Okay? If your breath is kicking, just lean back a little bit. One, two, three. Okay, y'all ready? Okay, before we start, I want to challenge you in this. Next week when you come, next Sunday, bring a friend. Comprende? That means you have to say, would you come to church with me? You might have to say that to seven different people. Bring a friend. Right now, there are about 1,100 empty seats above you. And we paid for. We paid for the building, paid for the air conditioning, lights, everything, and they're just empty. And there's about another 500 that is empty right down here. Let's fill them up. Amen? Okay, we're paying the same amount of money. Let's reach more people. But you got to do it. You got to do it. You can't just go, oh, I'm going to church today. All week, just work somebody out. Just wear them out. Okay, I'll go. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for being good to us. And we pray you'll bless us and that your Holy Spirit teach us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's see your Bible. Let's see your Bible. Say word. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Let's turn to Hosea, right past the middle of the Bible, a very small book. Hosea chapter 2. Hosea chapter 2. And while you turn there, the reason we have pens, our Bible, obviously we want to read the Bible all the time. The reason we have pens is because we want to write in our lesson plan. But if God says something to you about anything, write it down. And you will find yourself, by the way, I'll make a promise to you. If every time you come to church, you say, God, speak to me, you will hear his voice. He will, every time. And as a matter of fact, every day, if you get up every day and say, God, speak to me, he will speak to you that day. And it'll sound like your voice, but you write it down because you will forget. Okay? Now, when there is a wedding, the groom and the bride say vows. So I want to read some vows to you, different from last week. I know I read some vows last week, but I want to read some vows to you, the guy and the girl. The guy goes first. The guy says, I'll say to the guy, John, do you take this woman to be your lawfully wedded wife, to love her and honor her, to live together after God's will, forsaking all others, keeping only unto her as long as you both shall live? And the guy say, that was pitiful. The guy's like, I said it once. I ain't saying it again, okay? And then the woman goes, Shanae, do you take this man to be your lawfully wedded husband, to love and honor him, to live after God's will, forsaking all others, keeping only unto him as long as you both shall live? And the lady says,
I do.
There you go. I'm ready. I do. Call me. Okay, so what happens is, a lady gets married. We're just going to do the lady because, you know, the dresses are nice and better than the tux. The lady gets married. She comes down in a white dress. And a white dress, white is a symbol of purity before the wedding and during marriage. But then stuff happens. And the white dress turns into a black dress. Sometimes stuff happens, and if you're racially challenging, you think, why has it got to be black? Because black is sin. It's, you know, don't get hung up on that. Let me just clear that up. There are no such thing as white people and black people. It's all a devil game. Technically, you're all brown. For all you who are white, you're really just really light brown. And all you call yourself black, you're really brown. The only people who got it right are the Mexicans, but that's another story. Right? They said, we're brown. That's right. We're brown. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, melanin is the color in your skin, which is the pigment in your skin. Melanin is brown. So when you lay in the sun and get a tan, that's really the brownness you have that the sun is activating. So that's what I mean by brown. It's really true that God took one color and he made all these different kind of people because he's the bomb. So you got this woman. She comes forward and she gets married. And then she has a problem with sin. Okay, in this story we're going to look at today, a story about Israel. And Israel was God's wife, and Israel left God, and she became sinful, and God is going to call her back. Let me read the vows again to you in a different way. This is what happens when we get saved. Do you, on three, say your own name, one, two, three? Do you take this God to be your lawfully wedded Savior, to love and honor him, to live together after God's word, and forsaking all other gods, keeping only onto him as long as you live? So what happens is you come to God as a sinner. He forgives you and gives you his righteousness as his bride. The church is his bride, by the way. Collectively, we are. But then what happens? A lot of times we get saved, and then all of a sudden we start walking in sin again. And we say, God, I forgot about you. I started to do my own thing. And so today we're going to see a message where God is going to call back his people, Israel, to him, but he's also going to have a message for us as well as Christians. The Bible is timeless. His principles are timeless. And the message that he's going to speak to Israel through Hosea the prophet is the same message he's going to speak to us. Now, as we continue our series called The Royal, everyone say royal. Royal. We're looking at the literary genre or writing style of the prophets. And we saw last week or 2 weeks ago that the prophets were men and women that God called and God spoke through them to his people. That the prophets said whatever God told them to say to whomever God told them to say it, however God told them to say it. The prophets lived lives that God told them to live. They would live radical lives. And in this particular story, Hosea, everyone say Hosea. Yeah. Hosea was a prophet that God told to marry a harlot or a prostitute. And he said, Hosea, you're going to marry a prostitute because my people, Israel, are prostituting themselves to other gods, and I want them to see what they're doing to me. And not only are you going to marry a prostitute who's going to represent Israel, you are going to have three children, and those three children are going to represent the sin that comes from spiritual adultery. The first son was called Jezreel. Jezreel means God scatters. The second child was Lo Ruhamah, which means no mercy. And the third child was Lo Ami, which means not my people. And so he said, I want you to name your kids, and those kids are going to be messengers to my people Israel, that I'm going to scatter them. They're not going to be my people. I'm not going to have mercy on them because they have forsaken me. Now, the message to us is very simple. It's the same thing. Is that some of us have said, oh, I believe in Jesus, but we don't live it. We do our own thing. And God says, hey, go ahead. You're going to ruin your life, and I'm not going to save you unless you repent. And then maybe some of you have never asked Christ to be your Savior. You've been doing your own thing all your whole life. God's attitude towards you is a good one in this sense, that I still love you and I want to have a relationship with you, a union of two become one. But it's going to be up to you to accept my invitation. So let's read the story. The passage, chapter 2, verse 14. Chapter 2, verse 14. Matter of fact, look in your notes. Let's look at lesson plan, the notes, number one. Point number one is that God desires a new relationship with sinners. God desires a new relationship with sinners. God wants to have a new relationship with you. The Bible says that if you are a sinner and you have never asked Christ to be your Savior, you are at enmity with God. You are God's enemy. He doesn't want to be your enemy. He doesn't want you to be his enemy. He wants to be united as one. Let's look at verse 14. Therefore, behold, I will allure her, allure with comforting words. I will bring her into the wilderness and speak comfort to her. This is God telling Hosea about what he's going to do to his people who have rejected him. I will give her vineyards from there and the valley of Achor as a door of hope. She shall sing there as in the days of her youth, as in the days when she came up from the land of Egypt. And it shall be in that day, said the Lord, that you will call me husband. Everyone say husband. And I shall no longer call me master, for I will take from her mouth the names of the Baals, and they shall be remembered by their name no more. What God is saying is that even though, Israel, you have forsaken me, do you remember when you were in Egypt in bondage? Everyone say bondage. Say affliction. Say pain. When Israel was in Egypt, that's how they lived. And God took them out of Egypt, and they went into the wilderness where they had a honeymoon. They were free. You all have to acknowledge and know your Egypt. The Bible says that the penalty of sin is death, or the wages, or the compensation, or the salary, or the hourly wage you are paid for sin is death. So when you sin, the devil says, here's your payment. When you lie, he says, broken relationships. When you use drugs, I'm going to pay you with addiction. When you have bad friends, I'm going to drag you down by your friends. How many of you know you have a friend in your life or people in your life that are no good? Very good. Raise your hand. You know what you got to do? Get away. Before I got saved, my wife and I were dating and we were a mess. 99.9% of it was my fault. I would say 100, but she had to have something wrong with her. And right before I got saved, I was hanging out with a guy named Danny, who was my best OMG. We didn't have our BFFs back then because we didn't have none of that stuff. Text phone. We didn't have cell phones. Matter of fact, we didn't even have phones. We had to put a can with a string. And she used to tell me, "That's your wife. Where's your wife?" Because I was with him all the time. And he was no good for me. We had a lot of fun, but we had a lot of bad fun. When I got saved, we had a breakup. Matter of fact, I had to get a divorce because I had to go in a different direction. Your Egypt could be your friends. People you hang out with that just chattering junk in your ear day and night. Okay? What God says to Israel, I want to allure you out from that. Matter of fact, I'm making a proposal to you. I want to marry you. Now, you have strayed away from me. You used to be my people. I saved you once already. And you went away and you're going after other gods. I'm offering another chance. That's what he's saying. I'm offering another chance. I was watching a movie the other day where this guy proposed to a woman. And in the movie, he got on his knee and he got the ring out. And she walked across the room and he's holding her hand. And he started to propose. And before he could finish, she was like, yes, 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 yes. And I was like, girl, let him drag it out. Work him, work him, work him. Let him say it. God proposes to us, and he says, hey, I want to forgive you of all your sin. And you know what we say? I don't know about that. I think I like my sin. Hey, I want to give your life clarity, give you vision, show you a purpose. I kind of like confusion and chaos in my life. I'm going to get you off drugs. I'm going to give you a clear mind. I kind of like doing this all night, God. Do you know how thick we are? That God is offering us this great deal and we got to think about it? Here's what the devil says. I want to ruin your life real slow. I'm going to make you suffer every day. I'm going to make you think you have good things when you don't. And you know what we say? I want that. How backwards can we be? So God says, I'm going to lure you with kind words and comfort, but the question is, are you going to say yes? So look what the prophet says next, verse 19. It says, I will betroth you or marry you, engage then marry, to me forever. I will betroth you to me in righteousness, justice, loving kindness, mercy. I will betroth you to me in faithfulness, and you shall know the Lord. Look in your notes, number two. Write down. God will host a wedding for his spiritual bride. He is going to actually be united to his people at some point. And that unity with his people is going to be based on faithfulness, righteousness, justice, loving kindness, mercy. Ladies, how would you like to have a guy? Just a guy. I mean, okay. Just give me a man. Just any old man. I'm hooked up. No, you deserve better than any old man. How would you like to have a guy who lived his life righteously? Five girls. Okay. Five girls. Y'all like the bad boys, huh? Okay. All right. You can get what you pay for, okay? How many of you like a guy who is merciful, faithful, loving, all that in a bag of chips and got all his teeth and a job? When I first got married, I was in the locker room. I was on the team at the time, and I was at my locker, and a guy on the team, he had just got married. I was 24, he was 23, and he was talking to a rookie who was 22. And he was giving that rookie marriage advice, or at least telling him about his marriage. He had just had a big argument with his wife. And he was like, yeah, man, we just had World War III. And he was like, you know, that's just the way it is. You know, I was handling my business, blah, 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 blah. And I was listening, and basically he was telling him that's just what happens. When you get married, you're going to have World War III, you're going to argue, that's just this way it is. And I'm sitting in my locker going, so he finished talking. I said, yo, man, come over to this locker. I said, you don't have to have that kind of drama in your relationship. You will have differences. But I have learned something very valuable. I didn't know it as much at the time as I do now, but when you get mad and you're going to have an argument, two very simple words for you. Shut up. Now, let me clarify. I don't mean these are two words you say. That's not what I'm saying. You don't say shut up out loud. You say it to yourself. Now, On average, women talk more than men. On average, women say more words than men on an average day. Don't get offended. It's just a fact, and it's not meant to be offensive. It's a blessing of the Lord. Women are more expressive. They have a lot of thoughts about a lot of things, and they just can put their ideas together in such beautiful ways. It's just amazing. But in my house, I am the woman when it comes to the words. I talk a lot, my wife doesn't. So when, you know, I get emotional, I'm going to talk. And God has said, you need to shut up. The Bible says a soft answer turns away wrath. And if you're in an argument with somebody, and my wife does not yell, but if you're in an argument with somebody, and they're going, wah, 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 and you go, I'm sorry. They'll go, wah, 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 wah. I love you. Wah, 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 wah. I'm going to make it all right. Wah. Wah. Then you hug. And then you do Bruce Lee. I don't know what kind of husband you had, kind of wife you have. God says, here's what kind of husband I'm going to be. I'm going to be a righteous husband. I'm going to be a faithful husband. I'm going to be a merciful. I'm going to always be there. I'm never going to lie to you. I'm going to take care of you. That's the kind of God and husband God wants to be to his people, the church. And so he's asking you for an opportunity to be that to you. You may never have had that kind of person in your life. That has nothing to do with who God is. You may have never had that kind of father in your life. That has nothing to do with the kind of father God is. So God is telling you, he's telling you about who he is and what kind of husband, what kind of God, what kind of friend he's going to be. And he's asking you to marry him. When I say marry, is that when you ask Christ to be your Savior, it is a union to become one. And so it's up to you to say yes. Now, you could say no, but then think about your life. Think about what you do. Think about your whole life. And think about all the things God can do for you better than the devil does for you. I was in a services early, and I asked them, had God ever yelled at them? Has God ever yelled at you? God doesn't yell. Think about it. God spoke, and the heavens came about. He spoke, and the earth and the oceans divided. He spoke, and all the stars were flung in the sky, and the fish were made, and the birds were made. He don't have to yell at you. He's just going to speak all the time. So he's not going to scream at you. He's not going to chase you around. He's just going to say, whenever you're ready, I'm ready. I love you. That's what he wants. Number three, in your notes. Number three. New blessings come with new marriage. This is so good. You're walking around living your life, and your life is, ugh. Your friends are no good. Your diet's no good. Your hangover's no good. Your job's no good. You're not happy about it. Your car's click, click, click. It may start tomorrow. And you got all this drama, and it's like, ugh. God says, you know what? You marry me? I will, in the least, help you deal with all that stuff better. Let's read. Verse 21. It shall come to pass in that day that I will answer, says the Lord. I will answer the heavens, and they shall answer the earth, and the earth shall answer with grain, new wine, with oil. What he's saying here is that once you marry me, Israel, and once you are faithful to me, and once you come back to me, I am going to bless the skies and the earth, and everywhere you live, I'm going to make your crops grow. I'm going to make your grapes grow. I'm going to make all your animals have babies so your cattle will grow. What is the relevance to us? Is that God's going to start to bless your life. You have a relationship that's not right? God's going to fix that if you let him. You got a financial situation that's not right? God's going to fix it if you let him. You got health issues? God's going to get you through if you let him. You got problems with who you are and where your life is going and what you're going to be when you grow up and what you're supposed to take in college. God will fix all that if you let him. He will bless you. And so he's saying to you, I'm proposing a relationship. I want to have a wedding. I want you to be mine, and I want to bless you. And I can bless you beyond what you ever thought because everything I take care of in this earth is blessed. If you ever go I went to the Redwood Forest up in Northern California. Anybody been to the Redwood Forest? Oh, has anybody ever not been to the Redwood Forest? Let me tell you something. I'm up in Northern California, up in the middle of nowhere, and I had just visited a prison up there called Pelican Bay Prison, and I was coming home, and the guy driving me drove me into the forest, in the road. And he stopped the car. Trees, like, are so wide you could drive a car through. Can I get amen? Does anybody validate? Ginormous. And he stopped the car and said, get out. I said, get out. There was nothing. We were in the forest. He said, just walk in there. I thought, you know, this was the end of my life. This is one of the 48-hour stories, you know. Ignorant brown person walks in the woods. So, you know, I was nervous. I was just nervous. I was like, okay, why is he telling me to walk in the woods? He said it'll be a spiritual experience. So I walked in the woods. No, this is true. Like some of the other stuff I told you is not. I walked in the woods, and I tell you no lie, I felt like I was on another planet. It was so incredibly perfect. The temperature, the light coming through the trees, the beauty. And God said, I made all this. Like that. Look at the birds. They ain't worried about a thing. Squirrels, they're all happy. I'm taking care of all of them. I'm feeding them. They have babies on time. They sleep in the wintertime. Everything's coordinated. And you people didn't do nothing about it. I did it all. In 6 days, I hooked all this up. And if any of you ever want to hear, just get a perspective, wake up tomorrow or someday before the sun comes up, and you'll hear the birds in the morning. You know what they do when they get up in the morning? They know when the sun's coming up. God, the animals know stuff. They know when it's going to rain. They know when the sun's coming up. And when they wake up in the morning, you know what they do? They do this. Oh, man, I got to get up again. I ain't got no food in my nest. I ain't got no roof over my head. My wings don't work. I don't know what's up with this. It's messed up, man. My chicks ain't got no roof over their head. I ain't got no money in the bank. You ever hear birds do that? No. That's right. They don't do that. That's what we do. You know what birds do in the morning? Tweet, tweet. What a beautiful day. What a beautiful day. Little chickies, a beautiful day. Yes, 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 yes. We don't have any food, but it's a beautiful day. We don't have a roof over our head, but it's a beautiful day, so I'll be back, and you guys will be okay. The crows may come and eat you, but I'm sure God will protect you. What a beautiful day. Bye-bye. Why? Because God. Why do they sing? Because God. They ain't worried about it. You and me, God loves more than anything in the world. Matthew chapter 6, he says, why are you worrying? Look at the sparrows. I take care of every single one of them. And when one falls to the ground, I know it. But I care for you way more. Why are you worried? Oh, God, I only... And by the way, let me get a woman's voice. Oh, God, I only have 72 pair of shoes. What am I going to do? I lived this with a girlfriend. Shoes upon shoes upon shoes upon shoes, and she has to get another pair of shoes for this one day to wear one time. Yeah, 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 that's right, that's right. I don't get it. And it's a woman thing, it's a woman thing. But let me tell you something, and I know it's a woman thing, but let me explain this to you. It's a cultural thing. There are women in this world who have no shoes. Now, I agree you should have some shoes. We are convinced of what we have to have, and we don't get what we think we have to have. We complain. God says, you don't need any of that. My car is 5 years old. We just had people come from Africa. They had a pastors' conference. They had hundreds of pastors that were there. A lot of them walked 2 days. Slept on the floor because they wanted God's word so bad. It's perspective. If you can go get the shoes, whatever. But my point is this, we don't need all the stuff we are so distracted with needing. God says, I will take care of you. I can make you so much happier with less. More will not make you happier. Oh yeah, you may enjoy it for a minute, but then you got to get another one. More will not make you happy. More God, take care of you. Because when you got so much more God, no matter what you have, you start giving away stuff. And guess what? You find out it's more pleasing to give it away. We got the thrift store. Go give your stuff to the thrift store. Let someone go buy your shoes for $5. But I paid $90 for them. Go let someone buy it for $90. For, you get an $85 bonus on the back. Number four. God's people become a blessing to others. God wants to bless you, so you bless others. Let's read verse 23. After I marry you, after I bless you, God says, and bless my people, then I will sow her. Sow means to plant. I will plant her for myself, for my purposes, in the earth. I will take my people who I have blessed and plant them in the earth. And then it says, and I will have mercy on her who had no mercy. Remember, one of the kids' name was No Mercy. I will say to those who were not my people, you are my people. One of the kids, Hosea's kids, was not my people. And they shall know you are my God. And they shall say, you are my God. In other words, all these people that were not my people, who I had no mercy with, who had turned their back to me, if they let me bless them, if they let me marry them, if they let me unite them as one, I will not only bless them, but I will use them to be a blessing to somebody else. One of the best therapies against your pity party, to find someone with more pity than you. You may not like where you live. Go find a place that has nobody, a person who has nothing, nowhere to live, under a bridge. There's always someone worse than you. God, and by the way, there will always be someone better off than you. So end the cycle. Be content with what you have and say, Lord, how do you want to use me in this world? First step is to accept God's invitation. So here's what we're going to do. There's some of you in here, you are like Israel. You accepted God to some degree. You claimed to be a Christian to some degree, and you may have walked with God to some degree, but now, you're not. God is saying, come on back to me. Please, don't turn your back on me. Don't continue to turn your back on me. Then there's some of you in here, you have never asked the Lord to forgive you. You've been doing your thing all your life, and God is saying to you, come to me. I'm a gentleman. I'm a loving God, a patient God. Give me a chance to bless you in the way you cannot be blessed by anybody else. So let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord, when I picture a man on his knee, proposing to a woman, I picture you hanging on the cross, offering us a relationship. Your wedding tuxedo was your blood. You were covered in it. And as I look around the room, I know there are people here who have, in some way or fashion, walked away from you. If today you realize I need to come back to the Lord, I need to trust Him. I need to reestablish a relationship with Him or establish a relationship for the first time. I want you to pray this prayer. It's very simple. It's simply a prayer asking God to forgive you. But it's more so a prayer saying yes to His proposal for a relationship. So if that's you, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I believe you love me. I believe you know who I am. And I know that you want to forgive me and walk with me and bless me. So I surrender my life to you right now. Jesus, send the Holy Spirit to live in my heart. Fill me with your power and your love and your mercy. I surrender my life to you. Thank you. As our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, if you prayed that prayer, in a minute I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. And by standing, you are acknowledging that you are resurrecting from your old life.